Good to be with everyone today and thankful to come and be with you. Appreciate what's gone before and just thankful the Lord delivered us one more time. And I got some pretty special memories of this house from many years back. And pray the Lord will continue to be with us. Where's a good place to start? Second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. You know, when we come into the house of God and we are blessed to try to preach the gospel, and I'm not here to try to reel anybody in for the Lord, although if we are blessed to search the scriptures and follow them, there is some saving that takes place in our life. The only way you can get time to salvation is if you have eternal salvation. You got to have life before you can have birth. It's strange, it gets out of way, it gets out of line. But where there's no life, there's no birth. Plain and simple. But when God blesses us to come into His house, there's a particular way for us to enter in. Not, we shouldn't be high-minded. We shouldn't feel uplifted, because in the house of God, there should be no big eyes and little U's. And God looks at us as His children. Now, there are at least two absolutes with God. And people say, well, God saved everybody. Let's qualify that for a minute. Everybody that He predestinated is absolutely saved. And absolutely everybody He didn't predestinate absolutely aren't. And you say, well, God ain't fair. Yes, He is. If he'd have done what He was capable of doing, we would have all been cast into eternal hell. I heard a lady told me one morning that, well, I reckon I'm not going to heaven. I said, well, you ain't. And dead silence on the other end of the phone. I said, well, you ain't going to hell either. Well, she still didn't say nothing. I said, if you get to heaven, you're going to be carried, and you wind up in hell, you're going to be cast there. So you ain't going. So the Lord has delivered us, and it's a particular joy that we have coming to the house of God. And I'm going to tell you, if we only come to this house of God because we was afraid that was the only thing between us and going to hell, we ought to stay at the house and, brethren, gone fishing. We come to the house of God, brethren, to be instructed, directed in righteousness, that we might find peace and joy in our life, and our feet might be diverted around the mud holes of life, and that we might walk circumspectly before God and find peace within ourselves. I'm going to tell you, brethren, there's so much turmoil across this old land and nation now, and people are so concerned about everything. Brethren, we done forgot to pray to God earnestly. If my people, He didn't say it's the world, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. Boy, that is a tough pill to swallow. I ain't humbling myself to nobody. Will humble themselves and turn. What do you do when you turn? Just like, like He told the apostle people, when thou art converted, he couldn't strengthen the brethren in the condition he was in. Why? Because he thought that being a Jew, that he wasn't supposed to be in the presence of the Gentiles. But let me tell you something. God can make a fellow eat mud if He wants to. And old apostle Peter, he went where he wasn't planning, He went where he didn't want to, and he did what he wasn't planning to. But if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked way, not from being a bad little boy, but from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And I think they're talking about right here. Not just this land that we're walking on, but this old dust that we are made out of. But second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. For yourselves, brethren, know, I entered in unto you that it was not in vain. You know, God told Israel over there at one time, he said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now, that's run and taught in most cases about eternal life. It had nothing about facing eternal life. It had all to do about, I'm meeting you today, Israel. You have disobeyed me. You have contrary to what you know is right. Now, I done had enough. And you're fixing to find out just how angry I'm going to get. And I'm going to tell you, when God, he said, when he openeth, no man closeth. And when he closeth, no man openeth. And I'm going to tell you something. If he snuffs that candle out, you can carry all the matches and lighter fluid you want. You ain't lighting that candle back. When God's had enough, he's had enough. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, God's people are suffering because I think he's about had enough. Because God's people have deferred, they have walked after Baal, they've walked after the things of this life, they've hung on to the things of this life, they've changed the servitude toward God. Now we got to live with it. You know, there was advertisement years ago of this farm. You don't even see it anymore. But he said, God didn't give us this land. He just let us use it while we're here. And we're to be good caretakers of what we got. So that we can leave an inheritance for our children and our children's children. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of this stuff called teaching the Bible sometimes, if you look in here, you can't find it. Because they have, if what I saw is right, they now have a Queen James Bible. Yes, Queen. That is for the sodomites of this land. You can call them anything you want, but sodomite is the one word you can find in the Bible. Homosexual, I can't find there. You find effeminate, which means the same thing. But mankind is determined that since all of the people that are born, our children should have the opportunity to become children of God, they have written a book that will fit their situation. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't do things to make us happy.
That's right.
He does things that will satisfy him. His son said, I came not down to do mine own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. Let me tell you something. How could you imagine one knowing I came down to die for these low-down, no-good scoundrels around me? That spit on me. They made fun of me. They have belittled me. Isn't it amazing, brethren, that people won't guard the door of the church, but the first place they go when they get in trouble is they call the preacher. They love one get sick, they call the preacher in because they think they can give him life. I can't give nobody life. Neither can you, Brother Tony. I don't possess that gift, thank God I don't. I won't go there. If I possess that, can you imagine what I'd do with it? If I could give it, I could take it. So that's a two-way street. But he said, But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Now, Brother David, if you came to me and said, Brother Dwayne, how do I become a child of God? Well, Brother David, you gotta stop doing everything you're doing and you gotta accept the Lord. You gotta take my hand and accept the Lord. If you don't do that, you're going to hell. That wouldn't be no comfort. That's not gospel. Gospel's good news. I'm but a man, just like you, just like anybody in here. I'm flesh. So was Jesus, with an exception. There was no sin. He was sinless. You know, if you want a brick, you want to make a brick, you use mud. You use clay. You don't use concrete. God took that was perfect, without sin, and he changed. You know, Nicodemus didn't understand some things about Christ. He knew that this had to be an exceptional man. But he didn't understand being born again. A lot of people don't understand baptism. They think you got to be dunked in water or you ain't got eternal life. I'm going to tell you something. If you wasn't baptized in the blood of Jesus Christ, you ain't got eternal life. If you wasn't baptized in the blood of Jesus Christ, there ain't going to be no need of no new birth. And to get into the house of God, water baptism is necessary. But I'm going to tell you what, if the blood hadn't been first, the water ain't going to do you no good. God has to be the forerunner in every last thing that we have. If he's not first, there ain't no other place for him but first. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. Now, Jesus asked Nicodemus. Nicodemus didn't understand. Must I enter again into my mother's womb? Boy, wouldn't that be if I told you you had to do that. Would that be much comfort? Impossibility. But the question was asked, who then can be saved? Well, man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you're over all these people already. You know all these things, and you don't understand this one small thing. You know what, brethren? It makes me wonder this day and time, of all of the teachings and preaching in this land, do those that preach that you have to accept Christ to have eternal life, do they understand that if they don't preach it? Just like what Dr. Billy Graham said to Elder C.E. Daugherty in a letter one time. When Brother Daugherty wrote him a letter about the 8th chapter of Romans, and Billy wrote him back in his own handwriting, and he said, I understand from your writing that you're old line, Primitive Baptist, and what you're teaching is true, it ain't popular. It didn't pay the bills. How many of them know the truth and know the difference? But because of popularity, will they refuse to teach it? You deny me before man, and I'll deny you before God. No, we're going to lose our eternal life. We lose our joy right here in this life. But now look, have you heard somebody say, well, I decided I want to be a preacher?
Bless their heart.
Yeah. They didn't know what they were biting on, wasn't Brother David? I decided that I have I had a good friend of mine. He said, well, I have turned the leaf over. Obviously, from what happened afterwards, the Lord wasn't involved in it after that. But one said, I have decided that I'm gonna study and I'm going to be ordained. And it sounded like he said, I don't care where God likes it or not. He's got to let me have it where I want it, because I want it, and it don't matter where he likes it or not. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Now, brethren, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to make one of y'all mad, but a whole lot rather make you mad than I had God. Because I make you mad, we can get over somewhere down the road. But God, he don't let up too often sometimes. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Not of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. I love what the apostle Paul said, because Paul worked. I think he was a built tents or something like that. Anyway, he didn't want to be in debt with none of them. That's the reason that we're to preach what God puts on our heart, not what we're to scratch somebody's ears and make somebody feel good. Preach what God puts on our heart and pray that it be done with seasoning. What seasoning? Of some other preacher? No, of God. God knows what you have need of. I don't. But he said over in 1 John, and these things that we teach have been taught over and over and over again. My mother used to tell me, she said, I wondered if I was ever going to be able to raise my children, because I tell y'all something and tell you and tell you and tell you. Repetition. We need this repetition. I'm thankful God does not put us on the shelf. But he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That's what we're here for. It's to serve the true and the living God, pray that the Lord will deliver us and bless us to deliver a message that will strike something in your heart. I have a sister at church tell me that I walk on her toes quite often. Well, brethren, I walk on my own toes most likely before I get to hers. These scriptures, this good news, is to teach us. Well, he said how to be good citizens in the house of God, and how to serve God in a more perfect manner. We never stop learning. We're never too old to learn. We're never too old to be taught. When God, I think about what the Apostle Paul said, and this happens to every one of us. When God separated me from my mother's womb, come out the law, and call me by his grace, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't need to. Why? The master had spoke. The provider had spoke. His deliverer had delivered him. Yeah, Brother James, Adam's offspring is still eating of that apple every now and then. God's offspring forget. We have to keep reminded. of where we are. You know, we get to be in church, what, 10 hours a month, 20 hours a month? All them other hours, we're more responsible for our life than we are than 10 or 20. Because wherever we go, we represent God. However we act, we represent God. And we represent the body that we try to serve. You see, somebody said to me one time, because I worked and all of us have, well, you're just a part-time preacher. I said, brother, there are no part-time preachers. Just like there's no part-time members. We are full-time members. And I'm going to tell you, wherever we go, as a pastor of a church, we represent the body that we serve. And on the other hand, wherever that body goes, they represent God and their pastor. We should never be ashamed to be seen with God wherever we go. We should never be ashamed and should always have a ready answer for where our hope lies. Someone asked you, where does your hope lie? I hope the words first out of your mouth, out of my Master Jesus Christ. Brother James, that ark set up on the mountains of Ararat. That's where it ended at. And Brother Danny Adcock pointed out something to me one time. If you're sitting on the mountain, you can get knocked off. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. We're not sitting on the mountain. We're in the mountain. And so the only way we're going to fall is the mountain Jesus Christ falls. And that ain't likely to happen. So you see, we well grounded. We got a good foundation. We got a good base. And aren't you glad that I am God? Beside me there is none other. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not concerned. Thank God I feel like I'm in that